Collusion allegations are back on the political agenda today again. MLAs are debating the issue in the Assembly this afternoon. Sinn Féin is calling for institutions to deal with the past to be set up as soon as possible. New bodies, including a new historical investigations unit, are planned under the Stormont House Agreement. Now, today's Assembly debate follows a recent BBC Panorama documentary on collusion. An RTE documentary on the same subject will be broadcast tonight. Bran Rowan is one of the journalists who made that programme. He's with us now. Bran, you interviewed the Chief Constable George Hamilton for this programme, and we're going to hear some of that shortly. Fill us into some of the background of this case.
Well, you're right. I've been speaking to George Hamilton. He's saying that if we're going to look at the past, then let's look at it all. Yes, the stories of collusion, no longer denied and accepted as fact, but all of the other stories as well. So what he wants is the Stormont House Agreement implemented. That structure for addressing the past put in place. That would mean an historical investigations unit, an independent commission for information retrieval, an implementation and reconciliation group, and other elements, including an oral history archive and elements of acknowledgement. So this is part of tonight's RTE film made by New Red TV here in Belfast. And I think they've given you the longer version the George Hamilton interview and what he's had to say on this matter.
Well, let's just hear some of it. This is George Hamilton when you were asking him about bodies to deal with the past.
I think we've got some infrastructure there that needs built upon to deal with historical and legacy investigations.
And you're prepared to open your vault in the right circumstances and with the right legislative framework. And when I say your vault, where you store, I think, literally millions of...
Yeah, so it's a colourful metaphor, vault, but let's use that. I think if the vault was to be opened up, I know that there will be literally millions of documents, some of them intelligence documents, some of them evidence. There will be material there that are exhibits, and there will be computer systems that don't talk to each other, and all the rest of it. Because it is such a vast array of material, literally millions of documents, our approach to that with the resources that we have available has been one that's largely reactive. So when we open up the vault, at the moment, we open it up on a reactive basis to go to search for material to service an ombudsman's investigation, a public inquiry, the De Silva report, the Stevens report, whatever, in a very reactive way. All of those inquiries, all of those reports are looking at the role of the police and other agencies like the British Army, perhaps. And so, in many ways, the vault has only been explored to see what's in it in relation to police and probably army activity.
It's only exposed a small number of the skeletons, if you like, of the past. Is that what you think?
Well, that's one way of looking at it. I mean, we have looked in good faith, and it's a difficult job because of the volume of material and the complexity of it, and old IT systems that don't talk to each other. But we have explored all of those at the behest of those charged with investigating the role of the police in the past. Mm-hmm. When the Historical Investigations Unit and the other parts of the Stormont House Agreement get up and running, I have an expectation, as do my officers, current and past, that the activities of all of the players, of all of the actors through the troubles, through the conflict, will be exposed for what it is. And I think that that will help to bring some closure and some balance. Because at the moment, frankly, I don't think we should be exempt from scrutiny and investigation as a police service, past or present. I think that's good, if uncomfortable, accountability. But I actually think other people have stories to tell and questions to answer. And I'm hoping that, as you've described it, this metaphorical vault is opened up, then I have no doubt that out of that will pour material that will present challenges for other people in the system.
Other people who may not be in the public domain, different roles?
Well, I don't know, because we have gone on a purely reactive basis to service the needs of the coroner and ombudsman's investigation and other legitimate people who are questioning the role of the police. What I'm saying is that I expect the Historical Investigations Unit to have a more comprehensive look, a more generic, a more proactive look at the material that the police have retained. And the other point to remember in all of this is our record keeping in a past era may not have been the best, but we did keep records. And I'm not just talking about intelligence documents, I'm talking about plans for covert operations, I'm talking about minutes of meetings. My understanding is that the IRA and the UVF and other actors in all of this didn't keep notes or minutes of meetings or records of decisions or rationales for decisions. We did. And I think all of that has left us somewhat exposed. It was the right thing to do. I don't regret that we did it. But it has meant there's been a one-sided focus to the role of the police in doing our level best, acting in good faith and well-intentioned for the most part during the period of the Troubles. And I think the Historical Investigations Unit, going to look at all the material that we're sitting on, was bound to bring a more proactive and a more balanced perspective to what actually happened during the period of the Troubles.
So that's the Chief Constable George Hamilton. That audio brought to us courtesy of New Red Media through a documentary on RTE. And Brian, some quite significant comments there from the Chief Constable.
Well, what he's saying is that collusion is a part of our past and it is something that has to be explored. What he's also trying to do is take that conversation now into a wider frame. Is there the political will to put in place the structure that was agreed in the Stormont House Agreement for addressing the past? And what George Hamilton wants is the past out of present-day policing. So once you have an historical investigations unit, you've heard him say that he will be prepared to open that police vault and to release those millions of documents into that new and structured process. I think in terms of the wider question and the very specific question of collusion, the debate is no longer about did collusion happen, Stephen, but what was its scale or extent? How is it best described? Was it a tactic, a strategy, a practice, a policy? I've heard it being described as mission creep. One of the people interviewed for tonight's RTE film is the former security minister here, Michael Mates. He accepts that collusion was on a greater scale than he imagined when he was in place here. He was interviewed by my journalist colleague, John Ware. He said that while collusion surfaced here and there in the period when he was in Northern Ireland, he didn't think it was anything like on the scale which we now know it was. Many of these collusion stories, Stephen, emerge around agents and agent handling. So the Brian Nelson story within the UDA, the Scapatici story within the IRA, the Haddock story within the UVF.
But a lot of the collusion revelations, they centre, Brian, on the lack of rules governing agents or informers, don't they?
And that's one of the big themes of tonight's film. When Sir Desmond De Silva carried out his review, he came to the conclusion that there was, in his words, a willful and abject failure by successive governments to provide the clear policy and legal framework necessary for agent handling operations to take place effectively and within the law. One of the people interviewed for tonight's film is the former head of RUC Special Branch, Raymond White. He asked for this guidance, for this framework for agent handling. He tells tonight's film that senior officials and senior ministers did not give us, meaning the police, the support or the guidance that I felt we were entitled to. John Ware then puts a question to him. He says, the non-response, as it were, by ministers and officials to your request for a legal framework was, carry on, but don't get caught. And Ware asks him, is that fair comment? To which Raymond White responds, yes, I think that captures it in a nutshell.
That's pretty staggering, isn't it?
Well, I this is what I mean, Stephen, about this story now emerging in a very public way, no longer being denied or dismissed as it once was as propaganda. One of the other people I interviewed for tonight's film is David Porter, Canon David Porter, now Director of Reconciliation at Lambeth Palace. And David talks about that lack of a legal framework for agent handling here. And he says he hopes that Whitehall does not walk away and leave Ulster men to carry the blame and the heavy weight of collusion.
Let's remind ourselves some of what the Chief Constable said there. He said all of the players of the past to be exposed for what it is. Yep. So, in other words, not just the police.
Of course, and that's what a process on the past needs to be about, Stephen. It needs to be about all of the sides. It needs to be about all of the questions, and it needs to try to achieve many more of the answers. Now, I don't think and I've discussed this with you many times, that we're ever going to have absolute truth from any side, never mind all of the sides. But from September last year, September 2014, George Hamilton, the new Chief Constable, made a speech at the British Irish Association. He talked about the need for challenging conversations on the past, and now he's taking that debate another step forward. He is saying, put in place the structure of the Stormont House Agreement, that historical investigation unit, the Independent Commission for Truth Recovery or Information Retrieval, the Implementation and Reconciliation Group, the Archive, and the elements of acknowledgement. And when that is achieved, what he is saying is he will open the police vault, will release the millions of documents, and that will ask questions of the IRA, will ask questions of the Loyalists, will ask questions of the police and army, will ask all of the sides, all of the questions. And that's where he wants this debate to go.
Bron, thank you very much indeed. This RTE documentary will be broadcast tonight. Joining us now is Sinn Féin's Chris Hazard, the DUP MLA, Edwin Poots. Morning to you, Chris.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Good morning, Edwin.
Morning.
Good morning. Chris Hazard, do you think we will ever get the truth from paramilitaries? We heard Bron explaining, or George Hamilton, the Chief Constable, explaining to us there that while the police kept notes, the paramilitaries didn't.
Well, of course, you know, we do know also that, you know, I think I welcome George's comments around opening up now and all the players been involved for too long. The RUC, the police and the British Army fed the line that they were not a combatant. But I think that line has been well and truly spiced, and we can see the truth appearing. But I think the mention of records and files will be seen by some as a flippant remark. Remember that 85% of all intelligence in the hands of loyalist paramilitaries came via the police and army, and that we know that the police, for example, in the case of the Larkin Island massacre, destroyed some of this evidence and file that was kept. So I think George should be careful with his remarks as well.
Yeah, but his point is paramilitaries operated in a paperless environment.
You have to remember.
So therefore,
Stephen,
this can't all be one-sided. It can't all be scrutiny of the police and not scrutiny of the, as George Hamilton put it, the players of the past.
And that's exactly right. And what we're seeing here is the state, under international law, has obligations to protect the citizens. And in those instances where they have willfully and they have planned it and they have orchestrated and carried out killing on a mass scale sometimes, we know, for example, that the guns shipped into Ireland by Brian Nelson, the Ministry of Defence from South Africa, killed more than 200 people. Well, then that's exactly why we're calling here for a public inquiry, because there's international law that's been broken here. We have obligations on the British government and, of course, the police that we need to do it, and that is the situation we're dealing with.
Edwin?
Well, I think George Hamilton's right, and we do need to ensure that any process that's involved actually gets the truth and extracts the truth from whatever side. And I think it's odd that Sinn Féin this morning are talking about these issues. On the one hand, and whenever such efforts were made, for example, to ensure that the Boston tapes remained uncovered and unopened, and that access to that particular information wasn't achieved. So Sinn Féin perhaps now will come out and make clear that they're very happy for the information that was released through the Boston tapes, that has become public knowledge, and we do know what people have confessed and indicated that they had carried out and engaged in, and what others had engaged in over the course of the Troubles.
What do you hope to achieve, Chris Hazard, from this debate today?
Well, I think, again, you know, what we're seeing here is a complete tsunami of evidence in recent times. You know, be it the RTE programme tonight, the recent Spotlight Panorama programmes, or indeed if you take, you know, the Stevens report. Like, let's look specifically at the Stevens report. Stevens recommended that 24 RUC Special Advance and British Army officers be arrested. They weren't. You know, Hugh Orde said that, you know, Gordon Kerr should have faced trial. They weren't. Impunity here is a big, big issue. You know, Edwin talks and George Hamilton talks about balancing it up. You know, how many state actors have ever went to prison? You know, you look at the tens of thousands of Loyalist and Republicans went in prison, but the British state have acted with impunity here, and impunity is very much a part of it. They have used the law to hide. And we talked. You talked at the start of
while paramilitaries use balaclavas to hide.
sorry, Stephen, you talked to start. We're dealing here with collusion of the British state. Let's stay focused on the issue. And the issue at hand here is collusion of the British state.
Well, we're not. We're talking about what people from all sides of all different groups did in the past, Chris. We are not just focusing on the police. And I'm not too sure if you would want to just focus on the police, but that's not what we're doing.
I am not just focused on the police. I'm talking about British Army. I'm talking about security personnel. We're talking here about the UDR.
Are we talking about the IRA as well?
We're talking about everything in the round. Sinn Féin have said for a long time that we want to see an effective truth recovery process to address all of these issues. It's why we've agreed in the Stormont House to a number of measures that going forward now will be very, very useful. And it is important, Stephen, just let me make this point, that we simply do not focus on Republicans and Loyalists. The illusion that, that somehow the British state and that the police were not a part of what went on here, I think has been well and truly smashed. And we now need to see everybody around the table. Everybody has responsibility here, and that's what we're going to see.
And do you accept, Edwin Poots, that collusion happened in this country on a widespread basis, including by the security forces?
No, I don't.
I don't.
I believe that things happened, shouldn't have happened. But I believe that the vast majority of people who were in the police, the UDR, the Army, upheld the law and acted within the law. That's not to say that there was a very small percentage who acted outside of the law, and that had consequences.
And do you believe they should be pursued?
No one's denying that wrong didn't happen.
Do you believe those people from the British security forces who were involved in collusion should be pursued?
Well, I'll make my position very clear on that. First of all, the people who killed over 2,000 individuals in the Troubles was IRA. And indeed, there's other players who killed many innocent people. So let's just keep the focus. It wasn't the security forces that was out there willy-nilly killing and murdering people. Secondly, in terms of pursuing individuals who done wrong, George Hamilton has laid it out very clear that he's not going to be hiding or covering up things for individuals who did do wrong. But I should say that it would be somewhat ironic if we have ex-IRA people going about with letters of comfort in their pockets, which excluded them from actually being prosecuted for their actions, and people who had been engaging in this campaign to try to avoid murder actually ended up being prosecuted. And I think that is an untenable situation. And if we're going to have prosecution, it should be prosecution all the way around.
Thomas in North Belfast. Go ahead, Thomas.
How you doing, Stephen? How you doing, Chris? Chris, I was just like to know how many IRA volunteers do Sinn Féin have at the moment ready to come forward? And have they already amassed all the paperwork of which IRA operation they were involved in, who killed who, and who planted which bomb and stuff like that? Have you got that already, or how many people have you went to see?
Well, I think if we take two examples, the recent Savile and Smithwick tribunals, Republicans came forward with information. We have said this is why we've agreed to the Stormont House Agreement, the issues around the legacy issues, that we will come forward. It's why for a number of years now we've called for a truth recovery process for everybody to come to the table. But the big issue here at hand is for too long the British media, the British government and the various security personnel have said this is a situation between Republicans and Loyalists, that the police and the army were somehow an independent vigilator stuck in the middle. We now know that is not true.
The British army and all the things that were going on here was rotten to the core by the British and Irish government, which went on. But I'm talking specifically of how many volunteers use of ready to sit there. Like, is there 100 or 200? Or have you got all the stuff for the ready just to hand over the same way the police and the army do?
I think, well, one of the big issues here, of course, is that the police and the army have not been forthcoming with information. We have seen, and I mentioned the case earlier on today of the Lochan Island massacre, and I know, for example, the anniversary is this week, so my thoughts are with the families at this time. But evidence was destroyed. You know, if you take the car was destroyed within 10 months. This, the largest single piece of evidence in a case, destroyed within 10 months.
You're clearly hinting, Thomas, that you feel this is going to be one-sided.
Well, absolutely, Stephen. I mean, it's okay going on now and saying that things were destroyed and this, that, and the other. The point of the matter is that they're asking, Sinn Féin are asking for this process to come along, which is fine, I have no problem. Get the truth out there, 100%. But what it seems to me is there isn't... Say this happens in another 3 months, right? And the British Army have all these records, and as the Chief Constable said, he's going to open up this vault. Do Sinn Féin have all the information from their IRA volunteers of who done that? Have they got their vault ready to hand over as well?
Has Sinn Féin got a vault, Chris Hazard?
That's what I'm at. Obviously, they must. I mean,
Chris Hazard, has Sinn Féin got a vault?
Let's
let him answer.
Sorry, Stephen. Go ahead.
Stephen, I reiterate the point. If we look at Savile, if we look at some other tribunals, if we look at the independent body to deal with the disappeared, you know, Sinn Féin have been calling on people to come forward. Republicans did come forward in relation to Savile and Smithwick. And we have said from the start, you know, we will come forward and we have talked about this. This is about everybody in the round. For too long, the round was only Republicans and Loyalists. I think what we have seen here is a complete, and I've said it before, it's a tsunami of evidence that have dragged the British state to the table.
A tsunami of evidence, Edmund Poots.
Well, let's be clear. George Hamilton has indicated he's going to put the records out there. Well, Chris Hazard this morning tell us that when it comes to Bloody Friday, when it comes to the Le Mans massacre and other significant acts in the Troubles, that they're going to tell us who gave the instruction, who carried it out, where they got the materials from and all of that there. We also have the issue of the Irish government and their non-release of the papers in King's Mill. They made promises at Stormont House and they haven't been fulfilled yet. They need to change their law as opposed to giving us half of the information or a bit of the information in King's Mill. And we need to get that on the table as well. This isn't some one-sided thing. It cannot be a one-sided thing. Republicans were the big players here. They killed 60% of the people in the Troubles as opposed to 10% of the security forces. And they cannot shirk away or they cannot shy away. And we need to have truth coming from all sides.
Here's Tom in Belfast. Morning, Tom.
Hello, good morning. I think major issue is that the British security services were involved in carrying out the murders that are portrayed the IRA and loyalist killings. It was actually the British military who were carrying those operations out and planning them and organising them. And that's the issue. Also, where is the list of British Security Service members who were in prison? There's over 5,000 people, or maybe up to 5,000 people, who are considered to have been innocent of the charges that were brought against them.
Okay. Tom, thank you. Here's Mary next. Morning, Mary.
Hello, Stephen. I think everybody seems to be missing the point. They're going to set up another body of well-paid professionals to look into collusion. And let's not forget, if you put your complaint into the Ombudsman right now and you ask, is this person a police informant, your reply will be, we cannot confirm or deny if this person is a police informant. So you're never going to get past a certain level of security because they will protect them to the hilt. So this new body is going to be the same as the police ombudsman right now. It will not make any difference. They will not...
You've no confidence in the process, Mary.
It won't make any difference. They're not going to hang out all the police informants because they're thousands upon thousands. You will never get to the bottom of a collusion story where there's police informants, no matter what agency set up. They're not going to hand them over. So waste of money yet, being more people well paid for doing what's already been done now, which clearly doesn't work either.
OK, Mary, thank you very much indeed. Morning to you.